Awesome. Who got encouragement when you walk through the door? Awesome. Who needs encouragement? Yeah, let's get more. We need that, okay? Okay, all of us. Okay, let's just stand together and just encourage yourself. Let's do it. Yeah? We actually encourage ourselves. We'll speak over ourselves, amen? Because oftentimes, prophetic encouragement, it is us declaring things that God is saying over us, amen? So we just need to agree with the heaven, amen? Okay, let's do it together. Let's just do repeat after me, yeah? Okay? Okay, let's do it. Okay, I am loved. I am a child of God. When God looks at me, He smiles. God is proud of me. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm anointed to set the captives free. I am for science and wonders. I am for such a time as this. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are so beautiful, and you are so anointed, and you have purpose and hope and future. Amen. And we are so loved. We are loved. We are loved. We are loved. We're brothers and sisters. Amen. I want you to remember that every time, okay? Every day. Every day. Not only for Sundays, okay? Let's see what do we have for this month, for this week. Oh, look at all of this. We all accomplished. And why the barbecue is not marked? It's marked. It's done. It's still going on. Okay, who won? I lost. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is the winner. Ah, the Jesus won. Oops. The barbecue Jesus. Okay. Well, yay. Hello. See, declaration. He was declaring, I'm the winner. I'm the winner. And he won. So the power of declaration. Okay. So this is all so fun. We should do it again next year. Yes? Okay, so let's see what else. Oh, it's done. It's marked. Woo! After we publicly announced who's the winner, it was done. It was finished. Okay, let's see. Look at this. That was so fun. Look at the women of God. Woo! Look at the women of God. Amen. Look at this. Look at this. It's so it was so awesome just to sit and eat, you know, and watch others play because I have no idea what to do and who is winning. So it was fun. What else did we do except for, oh, we played some more. Yay, Katie. Woohoo! Women of God. Go, go. Okay, let's see. And on Friday, we had the family movie night. Thanks all for coming. It was fun. Look at all these children. They had fun. Yes. And sorry, no pizza today because we were eating a lot of hamburgers last Sunday. So we still need to digest it, okay? But it's still Communion Sunday. Someone ate the whole pizza. Okay. So we have prayer events this month. And we added some more because we are church who prays, right? Not only prophetic encouragement, we pray in church, amen? So if you need a prayer after church service, just come up front, okay? And our prayer teams would love, love, love to pray for you. Or if you have questions, you're always welcome to come up front and we'll answer your questions and help you. So we have extra events September 11th, 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. It's a family prayer. And then, of course, September 12th, 5 to 6 p.m., our revival prayer. Then we have extra prayer September 17th and 18th in the morning. Woohoo! 6 to 7 a.m., early birds. And then we have September 25th, again, 4 to 5:30, again, family prayer. So if you need a breakthrough, if you need salvation for your loved ones, let's just come and pray together. And then regular prayer, September 26th. 5 to 6 p.m. revival prayer for the city. Amen. So these are here for you to remember. And hello, Women of God, hallelujah, we are gathering together on Saturday. Woo! Woo! And our fierce leader will make some announcements.
Yes, so we're looking forward this Saturday. We're going to be looking back as women at where we've been, and we're going to look ahead to press forward, looking at new opportunities to grow and walk out our faith. We're all about prayer, scripture, fellowship, coffee, and our topic this week will be childlike faith. So those who are going to come, go ahead and look up scriptures you can find for childlike faith and bring it to the table, and we'll have a good conversation.
Thank you. Amen. We're children of God. 9:30 a.m. this Saturday. And we have Living Free starts September 17th. And we will be more free this year than last year. Than we were like in April. So we have youth Living Free. Hallelujah. Okay, so for those of you who have children or friends' children, middle school and high school, please sign up. Can you please let me know? Because that will be so awesome. We will have some fellowship and learning the truth and learning to pray. And church family, I would like for you ask you to pray for it, okay? Because we all have gone through some stuff in our youth, and we carried the garbage into our adulthood, and we don't want this for our kids. And they face so many challenges. It's just, my hair stands out when I hear the stories. So, because I had like kind of very quiet childhood. So I would like for you to pray so our kids will get it, and they will get the truth, they will get the love, and they will run with it. Amen? So please join us in prayer. Just pray, because Holy Spirit can do incredible things. Amen? Okay, let's see what else. And man camp. I need to divide the words. Man camp. Okay. It's coming up October. So please sign up with James. It's almost here. Almost. October is next month. So please sign up. And let's stand up and worship.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord. This is Communion Sunday, so church family, we're going to commune together. Not only together, but our heart is with the Lord and His Spirit that is present and already ministering. So if I could have the attendants come forward, they're going to kind of station themselves up here, and we'll have the elements, the bread and the cup. And just the word of coaching on that, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have accepted by faith alone, His grace, guess what? You are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. And that's what this table is about. It's not a Freedom River Outreach thing. It's not a this organization thing. It's a body of Christ thing. And I'm taking that off the teaching that Jesus gave Himself when He did this for the first time, and He looked out and He said, guys, don't forget me. Do this in remembrance of me. And they're like, okay, things are heating up, but this seems pretty important. This seems pretty final. Little did they know that very night Jesus would be betrayed. And a few short nights later, He would be hanging on a cross. But that's not the end of the story, because He knew when He broke that bread and He described what was going on, this represents my body, which is given as a ransom for many. That's us. That's you and I. And then He held up the cup, which there's a lot of meaning and a lot of significance. There's actually four different times in the meal when you would hold up a cup. And this is that third cup, and Jesus said, this represents my blood. And that's what the third cup represents. It's called the cup of redemption. It means God redeems His people. God is the one that brings us out of slavery. It's not anything we can do. And He says, I will not take of this cup again until we're all together in my kingdom. meaning he didn't partake of that fourth cup, which is the cup of celebration. And I believe that's the spirit we're to have right now in anticipation as we take this cup, that we are celebrating. We're part of the family. We're in. That's it. Christ is talking about you that night. He's talking about me. And you are accepted. In pre-service prayer, we came hard against a spirit of rejection. And I don't think I have to explain that. I don't think I have to describe that to you. I think we all have faced a version of that. But will you hear me right now? Will you hear the Lord speaking to your heart right now? You are not rejected. You are not rejected. So every version of that same lie, we just rebuke right now. God himself would not pay a price like this for someone he rejected. He paid this price because you are accepted. And he loves you and is willing to pay the penalty for your sin himself. So Lord, we do pray and bless this bread. We thank you, Jesus, that you are willing to go first and you are willing to pay the price. Lord, I pray over this cup and bless it. And Lord, I know it's just a preview of the celebration that someday we'll have with you in person. But I pray that you would loose your spirit of celebration right now amongst all of us, because we're together. We're family. We're accepted. We're loved. And as Galia made us declare, we're your children. So God, thank you that we can commune with you, that you have forgiven our sins. And because of that, this relationship is restored. And we can live and walk in your righteousness. So Lord, we receive. We are accepted. We are loved by you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And the whole church together said, amen. Amen. As we continue to worship, the only bit of coaching is to be mindful of the aisles so people can come and go. But at your own timing and pace, be willing to come forward and observe the elements. You can observe them up here. You can go back to your seat, whatever you're comfortable. But let's partake together of the communion. That table is now open as we continue to worship.
Bible says, prince of the air has blinded those who don't believe. You know, if we just open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, and just to see, look around us, we'll be able to see the chariots, and we'll be able to see the angels. We'll see that we are in very presence of the Lord. Because he's here, accepting our praises, listening to our prayers. The Bible says in Revelations, all our prayers are ripe before the Lord, right? It's sweet aroma. It's there. But how come we don't feel it? How come we don't understand it? We don't see it? Because our eyes are not open. And Elijah prayed in the Old Testament to his servant, because they're in the natural realm, it looks like the enemies has brought all these powerful soldiers all around it. But Elijah prayed, Lord, open his eyes so he may see. And the servant opened his eyes. The Lord opened his eyes, and he saw the chariots and the angels all around the field of valley. So he's no longer afraid. Did anything change? No, he was just seeing the fact the presence of God was there. Presence of God is here. If we just see it, You know, it wouldn't even be a miracle, because we'll be just declaring what we see, right? Because God is ready to give you, ready to be with us. God is ready to just pour out His blessing right onto us. He's ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive it? Just like Aaliyah said in the beginning, at the beginning of the service, let's declare, Lord, we are ready. Lord, we are ready. Repeat after me. Lord, I'm ready. Pour out your blessing. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Fill us. Pour your blessing upon us. Ushers, please come. Let's really worship. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much. We acknowledge and we confess that you are the Lord. You are my Lord. You're my Savior. Lord, from the bottom of our hearts, and we just say that you are the King of all around us. You are the King. You are my King. You are the King, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Lord, you are worthy of receiving all the praises and honor that belong to you. Lord, we worship you because we see, even though we don't see it in our natural eyes, we see with our spiritual eyes that you are here. Lord, we thank you. Receive our worship. Receive our offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, worship team. Way to go, team. Yay. Wow. As the offering is going around, I'm going to put up the church calendar. And Galia took us through quite a few announcements, but let me see. Oh, what is filled in here is those prayer events that we just got added. And this is pretty significant. I put them all in this light green. I hope you can see it. These are all the opportunities for corporate prayer meeting. We're going to be here praying. Come join us. And I know Tom's heart is for the 4 to 5:30 family prayer. We're doing this twice this month, so take advantage of that. Tom, if I'm representing that right, it's we're going to pray for our families, and families can receive prayer, or all of the above.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Okay, amen. Thank you, Tom. If you don't know how the Lord led Tom to this church, you should ask him that testimony, because it's very strategic. I know Marcia is one of those building blocks just committed to prayer. Tom is one of those building blocks committed to prayer. God knows what we need even more than we need it. And I think these people that are on this team that are saying, hey, we're going to be here praying. If there's two show up, if there's 200 show up, it doesn't matter. We are going to make sure that as far as our post as watchmen on the wall, we're going to be vigilant, and we're going to keep praying, and light and life is going to radiate out of here. So I know it's made a difference, and I highly recommend any of these prayer times, by the way. You are welcome to come and join us. Now, here's the ones with the little alarm clock. That means they're 6 a.m. prayer. So that takes a little extra planning, a little extra motivation. So that's why you have a week to think about that one and get motivated. But actually, those are well attended and pretty powerful times. And we're trying to be very prompt. So 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. So if you have work and other responsibilities, you don't have to feel bad about being on time or leaving. So that's kind of the big announcement. Women, you're back on this Saturday come and take advantage of that. And we're not having the pizza fellowship today just because we've been having so much going on, but we'll be back on that schedule next month. I have a couple things I want to do before I get into the book of Acts. And it's interesting that this is talking about missions, and hopefully this DNA, which is your DNA for missions, has been encouraging to you. And I know even driving in with Kathy today, I forget the context of what I was talking about, but something that was hard or rough, and then I thought, well, I haven't been stoned and drug out to the edge of town and left for dead. So it hasn't been that hard. Whatever my little issue is, which I can't even remember now, so it must not have been much, but I don't claim to have had it that hard. And the portion we're going to cover in Acts today, actually, Paul was stoned, drug out to the edge of town, left for dead. The believers gather around him. He pops back up and goes, okay, another day at the office. I'm going back in. I'm like, wow, okay, God, I have a ways to go. So forgive me for any grumpiness. Lord, thank you for your provision. But talking about this mission's DNA, number one, Marcia and Renee are going to be leaving next Thursday for a trip to Tennessee. Come on up. We want to pray for you. Yeah. And maybe you could tell us.
So we have been asked by a group called Catalyst Women to come and teach Living Free at a women's conference in Nashville, Tennessee. So we have four of us. Yeah, I'm super excited. Raina and Tina, if you know them, and Mom and I are all four going, and we're going to teach Living Free, and we're the prayer team, and we're meeting Chantel and Sarah for breakfast.
Okay.
On Friday. Yeah, super excited.
Well,
that just happened.
Give them our love from the whole church. So Chantel, if you're new here, was our previous worship leader, and she is now there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. We want to pray for that trip. You're leaving Thursday. You're going to minister probably Friday, Saturday.
Yep, Sunday.
And Sunday.
Yeah.
And then come back.
Yep, Sunday night. Friday night to Sunday morning.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, church, let's stand and listen in an impartational way. Pray for them. If you want to come up and help me out, you are welcome to do that as well. So, God, I just thank you for missions and the word going out. And I pray your power, your protection, and your provision over the whole team. And I thank you for Marcia's life. I thank you for Renee's life. I thank you for their heart to carry this message and to see women, to see captives of every type set free, to see your word go forth, to see people empowered to live in your righteousness and your freedom and your truth. So, Lord, I pray for every aspect of this trip that it's a blessing. That you give energy and strength to muscles and bones. But God, every connection, all the travel, Lord, protect it. In Jesus' name, the whole church together said,
yeah.
Amen. All right, since I have this family up here, John Selfers, are you in here? And I know Denise is probably with the kids, but I feel like I want to pray for one of them, at least. I thought I saw John in here earlier, and I'll just fill you in while somebody is chasing them down, sure. There is a reunion for John's parents' Bible college that they started in, help me get to Bolivia. All right, Central America. 50 years ago. Man, praise God. Which is a big deal to me because I got invited to a church that was started 50 years ago by my parents in Mexicali, Mexico, and it was quite an honor to go back and speak at that. So John has a version of that, but it is in Bolivia. I don't know why I keep having a hard time with that country. Well, I'll tell you why I have a hard time with that country, because that country is giving us a hard time right now. The State Department is not giving Denise a visa, which is permission to enter the country. and they're flying on Tuesday. So we need a miracle. Come on up here, you guys. I hope I'm representing this right, John. I don't know if you want to say anything about what we're doing, but you have permission to go into Bolivia because you were actually born there.
I was.
Yeah, so little do they know you're as gringo as I am, but you know.
I know. Isn't it funny?
Yeah. There's a bit of irony in all of this. But now your new beautiful wife has to get visa permission. And this has been a runaround. State departments are pretty frustrating to work with, and this one is
Bolivian departments are
been
more,
making it really
more
tough.
Radic.
Okay, so here's where we think it is. We think the visa has been granted because they have taken your money.
They did.
So if it's about money, check. But the flight is Tuesday.
Yes, it's still Tuesday. So.
And the only mail service between now and Tuesday is tomorrow, which is Monday. So we need the passport with the visa. They're both together in Texas. We need them here tomorrow.
Yes.
So Jesus was talking about speaking forth a miracle.
Amen.
Let's speak forth that miracle.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, Stan, we gotta get in on this one.
Thank you.
Lord, as a church,
yes,
we speak forth this miracle.
Yes.
There is, our brains are going overtime on all the hundred of reasons why this won't happen, can't happen. But, Lord, that just puts it in the category of a miracle.
Amen.
So we are saying no to what our intellect wants to reason, and we're saying yes to what our faith hears and proclaims over John and Denise, this amazing team, this faith team, that, God, I believe there's divine appointments in Bolivia to celebrate this 50 years of ministry.
Yes.
God, this is not just a vain, this is not just a vacation. This is an important milestone. This is an important accomplishment.
Yes.
And I believe it's actually important for John and Denise and their ministry, which is important for our ministry. So.
Yes.
Together we speak this forward. Visa arrived tomorrow.
Yes.
Permission with
Lord.
Visa and passport attached.
Yes.
We pray in the hands of John and Denise tomorrow. Lord, we are trusting you for this miracle, and we're praying it together
Lord.
As a church in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, a lot going on, and a few things I wanted to cover in our study in the book of Acts, and some lessons I think that are important for us navigating life and figuring out, how do we be New Testament believers? How do we be followers of Jesus Christ with this DNA we have to spread the gospel? A key verse for us is going to be in Acts 15, verse 8. God knows people's hearts. This is something that we describe a lot, that we talk a lot, but here it is in black and white in the Word of God. And he confirmed that he accepts Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit. You can see I underline this because to me, I'm very practical. And when I see something, when I see the fruit, when I see the results, I put a lot of weight in that. I put a lot of confidence in that. And that's all that's being said here. It's like, this isn't just my opinion. Look around. Check the fruit. These were Gentiles, which are basically just everybody that's not born a Jew. And they're receiving the Holy Spirit just like we receive the Holy Spirit. Wow, there's a lot of evidence, a lot of confirmation in that, just as he did to us. And this is very important to me as well, because this is God's agenda, and you need to know this is God's heart, going all the way back 2,000 years, actually further than that, going all the way back to Genesis. He made no distinction between us and them. You know, I still react to any vocabulary that is a us and them vocabulary. And I understand it. I think we all are naturally attracted the people that, you know, we know, and we like them, and we know that they like us. And someone new, someone that might look different or talk different or sound different or have a different accent, that could be a bit of intimidation. But make no mistake, God has never made a distinction between people groups, between ethnicities, between Democrats and Republicans, between, you know, whatever little way we want to divide up and label. That's a man thing. That's not a God thing. God's heart is making no distinction. And this is a lesson, and I tell this story when I teach Living Free many times. This is a lesson that just really hit me almost 20 years ago. I was working on outreach, and I was really tired, and it was a long week, and there was a guy came in, and he sat down in front of me, and he gave me these looks like, okay, I don't want to be here, but I know you got to pray, so go ahead and pray, knock yourself out, because I want to go in and get some free stuff. And he didn't say any of that, but you know how a look is worth 1,000 words? And I read all of that in his body language, and my brain starts going like, oh yeah, well, if I'm honest, I don't want to be here either. I'm tired. God, how did you do this? How did you minister to people that had bad attitudes? How did you minister to people that maybe don't look good? How do you minister to people that don't smell good? Because I'm sitting here right now, and all I'm thinking is, I don't want to be here. And that's one of the first times the Lord said it this succinctly to me. Well, I can see what I originally designed. And I remember just instantly understanding, and by the way, instantly being shocked. What? God? You are not distracted by the things that I'm distracted by? You don't have to look through human eyes and make all the hundreds of little judgments you make just by sight. You're not even distracted by what you smell, what you hear. You can see past all that. Wow. God, I want to see past that. I want to see everyone that way. Not just this guy that's a little grumpy. I want to see everybody I deal with the way you see them. That's kind of what birthed this ministry of praying for people's original design is, I want to know who God says you are. And then that's my choice. I'm going to choose to relate to you not based on who you tell me you are, but based on who God tells me you are. And I'm doing the same for me, by the way. I'm fighting for my original design. You may think, oh, you're a pastor, that's slam dunk. No, it's a bit of a fight. I got to wrestle over that too. But yesterday is gone. Today is our choice to believe what God says about you versus all those other voices out of your past, all your sin and failure. I hope that doesn't define you. I don't want my sin and my failure to define me. I only want the Word of God to define who I am and define who you are. That's a value, that's a premise of this ministry. And I know I'm paraphrasing a bit in Acts 15:8, but I believe that not only does God make no distinction, there is no us in them, it's only us, but he's able to take the craziest, mixed up, most broken person and cleanse their hearts through faith. Now, this was actually a little tidbit for me that I made a mental note of this week, because Kathy and I are going to kind of sequester ourselves away for the 3 days here starting tomorrow and work on a course just entitled The Holy Spirit. And so you may be looking at this and going like, wow, you're kind of like all your sermon titles kind of been emphasizing the Holy Spirit. Yes, you would be correct. And yes, it is a choice of emphasis, but it's not by mistake. We've been asked to teach a new course that kind of goes along with Living Free course that we teach having to do with the Holy Spirit and how to do life Holy Spirit controlled, how to live in this partnership, us being in the Spirit and the Spirit being in us. So I'm kind of collecting right now everything I can in the category of I need to learn. I need to learn more about the Holy Spirit. Well, did you catch something here? The Holy Spirit cleanses us. Okay, well, I knew the Holy Spirit was God. I knew the Holy Spirit, convicted man of sin. That one seems to be brought up a lot. I know the Holy Spirit, you know. But wow, did you see this? He made no distinction between us and them, for he cleansed their hearts through faith. When they accepted the Holy Spirit, there was this cleansing action. That is cool. I don't know about you, but I can sign up for a little cleansing action. A little extra, what's that cycle on the washing machine? Not the light cycle, the heavy duty cycle. And from the inside out, okay? The outside, okay, I've scrubbed that. But how do you get my heart cleansed on that heavy duty Holy Spirit cycle? That's what I've signed up for. And here's a little tidbit embedded in the book of Acts talking about that. All right, we got to do a little bit of background. This is review. I kind of ended up on this last week, but backing up to Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. And I know I ended on this last week, but this is such an important topic for us, and it's on so many people's hearts, not just mine, for healing here. And by the way, can I say an emphasis on physical healing to go with the emotional healing and the spiritual healing that we've seen so much of? And we've seen raindrops of this, so it's not like we haven't seen any, but I think there's a collective hearts here to see even more in every category. So with that said, I didn't want to just drop that last week and go on. Here is a healing in the book of Acts, actually a second one that is very different than the first that happened in Acts chapter 3 and 4. So Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He'd been that way from birth, so he never walked. He was sitting and listening as Paul preached. Looking straight at him, Paul realized he had faith to be healed. So Paul called to him in a loud voice, "Stand up." And the man jumped to his feet and started walking. Now, there's a lot to learn from this, and we're going to add it to an ongoing list that we have of some of the ways that God heals. I wish this was every time, just like this. But already in the book of Acts, we have examples of God healing in a very entirely different way. Now, technically, this man did not ask for healing, but I guess led by the Holy Spirit, Paul looked right at him and discerned, wow, there's faith here. Now, I gave example last week of faith of another, faith in the person, faith in the person declaring the healing. It doesn't quite seem to matter where the faith is. It just needs to be there. And that's the advantage we have, church, when we gather here on Sundays. You may think, oh man, I don't got much faith today. Well, okay, but you're in a room with some other people who just got their faith buoyed yesterday, and they're like giddy and they're riding high, and they, you know what, stand next to them. And there's somebody else sitting over there and somebody else sitting over there, and their faith is like, okay, well, I wouldn't say it's real high, but it's medium. All right, well, let's all stand together. And together, guess what? This faith is going to add up. And if it adds up even to a mustard seed amount, that seems to be enough. And we are going to see these things happen. But church, be ready, because this is an example that just because there's a miracle, just because there's healing, everyone just doesn't slap you on the back and go, oh, great, I'm going to follow Jesus now. When God moves this openly, guess what? The enemy starts to move just as openly. And I think God is preparing us. I pray that's the reason we haven't seen more in this category. I could be wrong. But I feel there's also a real maturing going on here. I think there's a strength and a depth that we're experiencing here. And, you know, I don't mean to just say here. I think this can happen all over town, probably is happening all over town. My experience is just here, so this is all I can speak about. But I believe God is doing this get ready because, yes, some miracles are going to happen, but also the pushback will happen. And one of the things that actually Paul and Barnabas were not ready for is when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in their local dialect, "These men are gods in human form." So they were worshiping idols, and something happened that was definitely outside of their understanding. And so immediately they defaulted to their pagan rituals and their pagan stories, and they said, "Oh, well, this must be that." They didn't even have a context for the God that you know, that not only loves man, but is so involved in our lives, could reach out and touch us, and a crippled man have their feet restored. They're like, "I don't even have a place for that." Well, guess what? Our society is really battling over that. There are so many voices wanting to define God wrongly, and that upsets me. You can say no to God, you can disagree with me, but the real God, the God of creation, the God of Genesis through Revelation, the God of our Bible, please, if you're going to define him, have a little bit of reverence for the God of creation and define his character correctly. He is the only God that declares to be righteous. No other God declares that. No other God is an example of that. No other God even pretends to be righteous except the God, our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God whose son Jesus Christ came to earth to die for your sins. He is the only one that says, "I am righteous," and actually lived earth for 33 plus years without sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. Showed it can be done. Pretty amazing. But what is even crazier than that is that for his followers, you and I, he says, "You can be like me. You could live this way too." Like, well, Jesus, I know me. That seems a little out of my grasp. Says, well, live in my righteousness. Live in me, and I'll put my spirit in you. Now, if that creates a tension in you and you're going like, okay, I was following you to there. You just lost me. You know what? Hook your wagon to my wagon because we're in the same place. This is what I'm going to be doing this week when I'm like, Holy Spirit, what does that look like? How do I live in your righteousness? How do I live in you and you and me? Your word says it. I believe it. And if your word says it, I believe I can do it. Help me understand that in a practical way so I can do it and I can teach others to do it. That's kind of our outline for the course that we're trying to do. So they had no place to this. They automatically thought, okay, these are our Greek pagan gods. But when Barnabas and Paul heard what was happening, they tore their clothing, which is an extreme form of mourning. And they ran out amongst the people shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We're merely human beings, just like you. man, don't worship us. We've come to bring you the good news that you should turn from these worthless idols and turn to the living God who made heaven and earth." See, this is a concept, too, that God is living, and God is involved, and God is here, and God is closer to you and your problem than you might realize. Now, if you're going through a trial this week, you might have heard that God is far away. Can I tell you that's a lie? You might felt like God is far away. Don't trust your feelings. In this case, trust God's truth. God is closer to you than your own breath. And in this trial, there is some revelation, there's some healing, There is something that the living God has for you. Now, that might stretch your brain a bit. These guys that saw this miracle, it stretched their brain. They had no place for this. But you and I have a version of this, and you may be going through it right now. He says, in the past, God permitted the nations to go their own way. And every time you see the word nations, at least the way the New Living Translation handles this word, you need to understand that's people groups. We're very nationalistic as Americans, and so we kind of automatically think, okay, countries, but that's just a word for every ethnicity, every people group. So God allowed, different people groups to go their own way, but he never left them without evidence of himself and his goodness. How is God described right here? Did you pick that up? Goodness. None of their Greek gods were good. They were disgusting. They were angry. If you wanted to worship them, you had to appease them. You had to bribe them. You had to give them, kill an animal and give them the best cuts of meat. And then when they were done with that meat, you could sell it for a profit in the market. But, it was just disgusting. It's like made up. It's not real. Our God is a God of goodness. And the evidence of that is overwhelming, and it's all around you. All right, so even as they were telling and teaching this, they could scarcely restrain the people to sacrifice to him. This was so miraculous. They've never seen anything like this. Their brains were just going, no, we're not listening to what you're saying. You guys must be gods, rather than, no, we are agents of the God. We're the under shepherds. We're the middleman of the God. So I showed this slide last week, and actually I think I ended this basically here healing here at Fro because we are very committed to this. And I explained to you that we're claiming the low-hanging fruit of prophetic words that have been spoken over us very specifically, have been spoken over us generally, have been spoken over this region, actually. And I think there's probably, maybe they were meant for someone else, but I haven't seen anyone claim it yet, so I'm going to claim it. I'm going to claim all of it. And I'm going to say, wow, you could walk past this low-hanging fruit if you want, but it's just that available and it's that easy. I'm claiming all these prophetic words. And by the way, we schedule our healing service November 24th. So that's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And if you know someone that is struggling with anything, any infirmity, get them in this room November 24th. They're going to be loved. They're going to be cared for with dignity. And, I know usually your brain goes, well, what if they're not healed? You know what? If they're not healed, they're going to know that God loves them, and they're going to know that a group of strangers love them and will speak truth over them. So they will not be worse off than when you brought them. I remember that thinking. So I may be ahead of some of you. You're like, oh, how'd you know I was thinking that? Been there, done that. But you get them in this room, and what if they're healed? It's going to be worth the risk. And I think God is going to reward you for that kind of faith. By the way, there are some very specific words over our region. This is one very personal to me, the John G. Lake Ministry out of Spokane, Washington. And Azusa Street, 100 years ago, Azusa Street is Los Angeles, so west coast of America. So if you want to brush up on your church history a little bit, both of those will be very encouraging to you. And not to go into it other than I believe what God did in both these places, he's going to do again. And why not Tacoma? Why not here? God can say no, but it's not going to be for us not asking. God, we want you to heal again the way you did in the John G. Lake healing rooms. God, we want you to pour out your spirit again the way you did in Azusa Street. Right here, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Now, I love this picture because to me, it's very descriptive of this process. I feel like these little kids got a lot to learn. But man, yeah, I can reach this fruit, I'm grabbing it. And I think the other thing, which I didn't point out last week, but I want to point out this week because it kind of goes with the message. Sometimes this can be a little messy. You can see they're dropping it, they're stepping on it, they're creating a mess. Yeah, things might get messy, but church, it comes with the territory. And if it's God, He'll protect us. If it's God, He will provide. And I'm not going to fear the mess, and I don't want you to fear the mess either. So I already talked about this, but really the direction I feel in emphasis is not just for a single service, but this is how we live, Holy Spirit living. You know, if you heard me talk about the healing service, you're going to like, oh man, I'm struggling with something today. I can't wait till November. Good, don't wait till November. After the service, march right up here and we will pray healing for you today, right? You don't have to go home with whatever you came with, all right? So this is really the goal, Holy Spirit living. We kind of do this to put a date on the calendar to kind of make us be disciplined, make us be ready. We're going to do some prayer and fasting to be ready for that. All right. So, we're back to Acts chapter 14. It goes on, verse 19. Some Jews arrived in Antioch and Iconium and won the crowds to their side. So, you know, Paul and Barnabas do this amazing teaching, amazing miracle. And so, how's this for a day at church? They stoned Paul and dragged him out of town, thinking he was dead. So there you go. Okay, 1 minute they think he's God. Their gods were disgusting, horrible examples of anything. And then the next minute some other people come and say, no, their message isn't right. Wait a minute. What about the guy that was healed? Oh, that was yesterday. Today we're going to throw rocks at him till he's dead. And then we drag him out of town and leave him for dead. Wow. Crowd mentality changes quickly, doesn't it? Well, here's another example of that. This is interesting. Dr. Luke is writing this, and you would think as a doctor, he would kind of give us a little more information, but he goes, but as the believers gathered around him, he got up and went back into the town. The next day he left with Barnabas for Derbe. So he's out here basically stoned, thinking he was dead. Either he wasn't dead, or as the believers gathered around him, he got up and went back in. So I think this is a healing. We don't know. It's kind of like so normal that Luke is just like, you know, okay, I got to keep up with everything's going. Okay, boy, they healed a guy. They tried to worship him. They said, no, don't worship us. But some other people came and said, changed their minds. So they stoned him to death, drug him to the edge of town. Oh, the believers went out, gathered around him. He gets up, he comes back into town. Man, that's the narrative. Okay, I guess I haven't had a bad day after all. This is kind of almost their normal. Finally, they returned by ship to Antioch of Syria. If you make a mental note of this town, it seems to be their base, where their journey had began. The believers there had entrusted them to the grace of God to do the work, and they now had completed. So this is called the end of the first missionary journey. Upon arriving in Antioch, they called the church together and reported everything God had done through them and how He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles too. And they stayed there with the believers for a long time. You know, here in your Bible commentary, you'll see maps and it'll draw a map of this missionary journey. So I didn't want to do that for you. You can definitely look up the geography. All these towns are real places. So this is history. This is not, you know, made up. This is, you know, actual places. But instead, I made my map of the first missionary journey somewhat by events that I think are important for us today with our DNA of missions. All right, so number one, Paul and Barnabas went out on their first journey, started here in Acts 13. I should have put Antioch here because this is the church that was all unbeliever, a mix of Jews and Gentiles that all became saved and became somewhat of an influential church and probably supported a lot of their continuing journey. So Paul and Barnabas returned to report to the church in Antioch here in the end of chapter 14. So that's kind of the little Google Maps marker point. This, I know you've been hearing a lot of places, but this is one that kind of is an anchor point. But here's a little event that happened that I talk about also when we teach Living Free, when we teach through Soul Ties, because this shows how fierce the spirit was of salvation by works. And you wouldn't know this unless you read through Galatians. When Peter came to Antioch from Jerusalem, all right, they're returning back here, and Peter comes from Jerusalem, Paul confronted him about his refusal to eat with Gentiles when the Jews were present. And this is told for us in Galatians chapter 2. So I'm putting this together for you. What happens is the missionary team comes back from headquarters in Jerusalem, so to speak. The disciples come. But Peter, who was a leader in ministering to the Gentiles, all of a sudden just felt some pressure, like, oh, I can't eat with the Gentiles here in this church in Antioch because it's mixed. It became us and them again. How heartbreaking. How confusing for the new converts. Wait a minute. You're one that taught us this. Now you won't eat with us because we haven't followed all the historic rituals like your other friends have? We use this to describe what we call a soulish tie. You're thinking about what's in the other person's head. And that's what happened to Peter. He was more worried about what others were thinking than about what God had already taught him. While in Antioch, Paul apparently had heard about the Judaizers who were infiltrating the churches. This seems like a real purposeful infiltration. And then he met with them. With that in mind, and perhaps with the recent behavior of Peter, Paul wrote the epistle to the Galatians. And so maybe we'll study Galatians next, but this is a great context to help us understand this battle over salvation by faith or salvation by works, or some mixture. Paul then left with Barnabas for Jerusalem to discuss the issue with the elders and apostles of the church, Acts 15. So I'm going to have to skip ahead, but this is the part I kind of want to emphasize and end on, is what is going on here in Acts 15. So I need to apologize, but I don't have time to read this. I'm just going to kind of go to this. As Paul and Barnabas were in Antioch, they report to everyone's joy that the Gentiles are being converted. They're like, wow, what a success. That's what we sent you out for. You come back, you report this. Man, everyone is being converted. So then in Acts 15, verse 4, when they arrived in Jerusalem, there's this conflict. So now they go to Jerusalem. Barnabas and Paul were welcomed by the whole church, including the apostles and elders. They reported everything God had done through them. But then some of the believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees, I don't know if you remember these guys, very, very legalistic, stood up and insisted the Gentile converts must be circumcised and required to follow the law of Moses. All this means is like, okay, we see the evidence. You're giving us all these reports, but they're not saved unless they do all the do's and don'ts like we do. Wow, that's a different gospel. That's not salvation by faith. That's salvation by works, by tradition, by do's and don'ts. Paul and Barnabas reported that the Gentiles were being drawn to God, and they're being saved. Everyone in Phoenicia and Samaria received the news with great joy. Yeah, we confirm it. Back in Jerusalem, Paul and Barnabas are welcomed, but then some former Pharisees objected. So the apostles and elders met together, and this is important. I'm going to take just a little time because I got a bunch of things to emphasize here. So the apostles and the elders met together to resolve this issue. We're going to talk this out. At the meeting, after a long discussion, Peter stood and addressed them as followers. Brothers, you all know that God chose me from among you some time ago to preach to the Gentiles so that they could hear the good news and believe. God knows people's hearts, and he confirmed and accepts the Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us. This is our key verse. This is what I wanted to get to, and that's why I drew a box around it. But there's more. For he cleansed our hearts through faith, and we are now challenging. Why are you now challenging what God has done by burdening Gentile believers with a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear? It's kind of confronting them on being a little hypocritical here. We believe that we are all saved the same way. Well, of course, by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know this is a lot. I'm sorry I've kind of run out of time, but here's what will cap this off. It's interesting that everyone listened quietly as they're telling about this and about the miracles. When they had finished, James, and he's the same guy, half-brother of Jesus, wrote the epistle of James, stood and said, "Brothers, listen to me. Peter has told you about the time God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for himself. And this conversion of Gentiles is exactly what the prophets," make a note that this is plural, not just one, "but what the prophets predicted as it is written." And this is an interesting sermon. And again, I don't have time to go through this, but it's out of Amos and Obadiah. And they're two prophets that we don't hear a lot about, but I'll paraphrase James's message and the point that he's bringing forth out of these two small prophetic books, Amos and Obadiah. "Afterwards, I will return and restore the fallen house of David. I will rebuild its ruins and restore it so the rest of humanity might seek the Lord." This is, again, New Living Translation, but it's basically saying that all people groups will seek the Lord, including Gentiles. "All those I have called to be mine, the Lord has spoken." Now, to understand this prophecy from Amos, you're going to have to remember Jacob and Esau. And these are two brothers. And Esau was the older brother who deserved the birthright. And Jacob actually stole it, was the younger brother, but became the one that got the blessing from his father. There's a lot there. And so Jacob is known as a father of Israel. Esau is known as a father of this people group called the Edomites. And so Amos actually prophesies many years after these two guys, Israel will possess what is left of Edomend, or the Edomites. "All nations I have called to be mine. The Lord has spoken, and he will do these things." And the phrase is actually the remnant of Edom, which means the country that Esau started. Now, this country started in conflict. There was some reconciliation of the brothers, but then over the years, there's also more conflict between these two tribes and two offspring. So it's really interesting that James chooses, when they're all trying to decide, wow, is salvation really come to the Gentiles? Does it really work this way? It's really interesting that James' point to everybody is, hey, this was prophesied. Even people we have had conflict with, even people that were our enemies, God is going to choose, and God is going to restore, and God is going to bring back. You may think, hey, Esau went his way, never to be heard from again. Our God's not like that. Our God cares for everyone. You may have had a time in your life when you think, oh, not only am I lost, but I deserve to be lost. It's my own darn fault. No one will ever hear from me again. God has not forgotten you. God will not forget you. And I'm claiming this word, that the remnant of Edom comes back to cover every back alley in Tacoma, to cover every homeless camp, to cover every place where the enemy thinks we can't find people. I'm claiming this to say our God can find you. Our God can pull you out of the darkest, isolated, loneliest place and restore you. That is a paraphrase of the sermon that James gave, but everyone in that room, I guarantee you, got it. Everyone in that room goes, oh my goodness. It's been right in front of us this whole time. God calls people out of groups that were his enemies, which is all of us. God can and does change people. This is huge, and this is probably where I should end, but I got a few more points here. We should not make it difficult for anyone turning to God. This is what James goes on. So my judgment is, let's not make it difficult for the Gentiles. But truth can handle discussion, collaboration, and evidence. Wow, did you catch that? I mean, to me, if I were in this discussion, I'd be like, hey, end of discussion. Look at this miracle. But if it's truth, you can discuss it. Yeah, that's okay. Okay, we got the miracle, the guy healed. We got the Gentiles being drawn to God. But sure, if it's God's truth, let's discuss it. Let's come on, come on. Let's be heard and let's hear, and let's come to this collaboration. Notice one's experience was valuable, but not definitive. See, this is a lesson to me, because I would have been said, the dude's healed, end of story. They're like, well, yeah, he's healed, but if it's God's truth, it can still stand up to discussion. Okay, lesson learned. Yeah, let's discuss, because truth can handle that. And here's what you come to. Experience that matched the Word of God became Christian practice. Both happened. Yes, you got my opinion, you got my experience, but you have God's truth. Now you can decide. By the way, James does go on and say, hey, we don't want the Gentiles swapping one ritual for another. That doesn't save you. And that was the problem here with the discussion, is they were trying to define salvation. But Christian living still needs to be taught. So yeah, guys, you're following Jesus now, but you know what? That meat sacrifice to idols, all those pagan practices, they're not good for you. They're opening the door to demons. Why would you do that? Let's teach you now how to follow Jesus. By the way, that doesn't save you. That doesn't make you any more holy to God, but it's going to make you healthier and happier. So we'll teach you some Christian living, but you need to know salvation. Don't mix that in with salvation. Salvation comes only one way, through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's stand. I'll pray that over you, and we'll dismiss. Lord, I thank you for the faith in this room. And God, as you have called all of us out of dark places, places that we thought you could never find us, places that were largely due to our own fault and our own rebellion, we were your enemies. But God, you first loved us. And while we were your enemies, your love broke through. And God, the remnant of Edom, I believe, applies to us here in Tacoma. You are raising us up and preparing us for what's next. So Holy Spirit, we say yes to you. We say yes to you. Thank you for your salvation. Teach us how to live in it. Teach us how to walk in it. Teach us how to be an example of it to all people groups. Because each one of us has influence and people are watching. So I say yes to you, Holy Spirit. You know what you have to work with. I'm not claiming I'm more spiritual or more religious. I'm just trying to be honest and saying, my heart resonates with saying yes to you. So I say yes. Since Galea started us with some declarations and Pastor Michael added to it, maybe I can close us with just a few declarations. So if you agree with my prayer, repeat after me. In Jesus' name,
Jesus.
I declare, Holy Spirit, I'm saying yes to you. Yes, Holy Spirit. Lead me. Take me the next step. I trust you. You love me. You can provide for me. I have nothing to fear. I say yes. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for coming today.